Morning, everybody. Today, we read Proverbs chapter 26. In February, we just read it. And now in June, we have to read it again. That's no accident. And this is not a coincidence, I tell you. And we need to read it. So that's why we read it this morning again and again. May God help us. Chapter 26. I give a topic to this proverb. A fool doesn't have God. Because it keeps on telling us what a fool is. A fool appears for 11 times. And it doesn't mention about God. So that's why I make the topic as a fool doesn't have God. Pastor Anna, who just shared with you, and she divided it into different paragraphs. It is the same as my dividing. From verse 1 to 12, it's talking about how bad a folly a fool is. It mentioned about how bad a fool is. It seems that it doesn't have any relationship with us. It is a fool. They are like this. But at the later part, it mentioned about if we have this kind of signs, we are the fools. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. Slow in summer, what is the feeling? All the plants on the field will die. Rain in harvest. And it will delay the harvest. And the farmers will be very anxious. It is when a fool who is promoted, it is the same. And the authority that he can control, everything will die. And things could not proceed. And it will make people very anxious. So that's why he mentioned from verse 1 to 12 that a fool will not have hope. Verse 2, like a fluttering sparrow or darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. It means every curse has a reason behind. Here, I found that this is very special to put this verse here. If it responds to verse 1, that means it explains why the whole earth is under curses, because the fool is promoted. If it responds to verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools. How come you are being whipped? Because you are so folly. How come you are being taught in this case? Because you are folly. So that's why verse 2 is responding to verse 1 and 3. Verse 4 and 5. We have to think about it. It's worthy of our contemplation. When they put together here, it seems very conflicting. It's talking about the interaction that we have to make with the fool when we meet them on this earth. First of all, do not answer fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. On the one hand, you do not answer a fool according to his folly. And on the other hand, verse 5 mentioned answer a fool according to his folly. And we look at Jesus' life. We just went through the book of Matthew when Jesus faced the high priest, the Pharisees, and the Pilates, and his reaction, his response actually show the content, so the meaning, the substance of these two verses. Most of the time, Jesus did not respond, so that's why he did not. Why he did not respond? Because he doesn't think that it is useful. But some critical point, he will respond. For example, the high priest asked him whether you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, what you said is. And sometimes he did not respond, sometimes he will. When Pilate asked him and he did not say anything. And Pilate said, whether you know that I have the right and authority to put you into death sentence and I have the right to release you too. And Jesus said that if it is not agreed by the authority in the heaven, and you could not do anything. And he has such kind of interaction with Pharisees and the high priest and also Pilates. For example, like tax collection, whether it is good to make tax, to pay tax to Caesar, whether it is good or not, whether it's appropriate or not, no matter how he answer, it is not appropriate. So that's why he respond according to the words that person asked. And asked whether, what is the image on this coin? And answer for according to his folly, because that person is asking a folly question. And Pharisees asked Jesus, by what authority you baptize others, you baptize people? And then Jesus raised a question according to his words. You have to tell me by what authority that John the Baptist baptized people. If it is from God, how come John honor me, you didn't? And the people and the Pharisees dare not to say that it is not from God. So at last, the Pharisees said, I won't tell you where it has come from. It shows that we must have wisdom when we interact with a fool. Sometimes ignore them. Sometimes you answer for according to his folly. So it talks about how we get along with and interact with a fool. Don't ask them to do things for you. Don't ask them to send a message for you. If you want them to run something for you, to do something for you, actually you are cutting off your legs. You have to maintain, keep a distance from them. Verse 6 and 10 is the same. That is, if you care about a fool, it is like you care about a passerby. Just like an archer who wounds at random. That is, when you ask them to do something for you and they will make many harms to you. So don't think that if you have many people, it is easy for you to finish something. I tell you, if it is really powerful and you just look for one or two person, that is enough. If you find so many people and ask them to help you, I tell you, problems arises. So that's why we have to keep distance from these fools. Because in verse 7, it mentioned, like the useless legs of one who is lame is a proverb in the mouth of a fool, it is useless. Verse 7 and 9 are responding to each other. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. no reaction. They are not under your supervision. They are not teachable. It's useless for you to ask them to do things. If you really do, it will harm the result. And they will not have their own reflection. Verse 11, as the dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. That's something that he doesn't want, but only, you know, within a short moment of time, he returns to its vomit. It is very conflicting. So that's why he could not reflect on and obtain experience from the, could not learn the lesson from the experience. Like verse 11. From verse 1 to 11, it asks you to keep distance from a fool. You will think that, yes, we have to keep distance from a fool. And then he'll ask you a fundamental question. Who is a fool? From verse 12, there are some characteristics of a fool. Verse 12, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for fool than for them. This sentence is really interesting. Seems that a fool is better than a wise person. Than a person who sees themselves as wise in their own eyes. I tell you, majority of people here mentioned would think that they are wise. But majority of this kind of person is hopeless, less hope for than a fool. Oh, you from the surface of this sentence, we think that, oh, okay, the fool has more hope than for a person who see themselves wise. Actually, he's asking you whether you're a wise person. If you think that you are wise in your own eyes, and then you have less hope than for a fool. This is the first characteristic of a fool. And the second characteristic is lazy. Maybe we think that we're not a fool, but we are sluggard. And it seems that we took it with some reasons behind. Oh, maybe you say, how come you don't go on the street and do the business? Because it's very dangerous. There is lion in the road. For example, in Dingao, the area that I live, there are some wild pigs. The big size, they are in big size. Some of them are very, really big, so it is very dangerous. So that's why some people will find some reasons to keep themselves at home. Oh, the weather is not good enough, so that's why I don't want to go out. Because many other reasons you don't want to go out. Many reasons. Verse 16. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. We don't think that we are fool. But we think that we are wise. And we think that we're wiser in our own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. It equals to say that a sluggard is far more foolish than a fool. The people who answer discreetly, they are wise, but the sluggard think that they are even wiser than them. If you think that you are sluggard, I tell you, it is so sad. Or even others think that you are sluggard, and your spouse, your family members think that you are sluggard. Then you have to change this ASAP. That is, don't let others have this viewpoint on you. Because such kind of a person is even worse than a fool. This is the second point. And then, a person who's minding others' business, and this is also a fool. In verse 17, like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. Because that's nothing to do with you, no relationship with you, but you want to be the judge. That is, the person doesn't have any boundary. For example, somebody is teaching his own children. If you scold the children following that parents, and they will be very angry too. And many parents will think that I can scold my own children, but not you. If you want to stand and align with this parent, it isn't good. But if you want to align with the children, it isn't good too. If you say that, oh, it is okay, and your children understands right now, you think that it is not good for steal something, and it is okay, like he admitted for his mistakes, and now he just say sorry to you, it is not good too, because it is none of your business. If you mind others' business, I tell you, it is a person who has no boundary. And that person is a fool. Then verse 18. Bully your neighbor. No matter it is your neighbor, your colleagues, if you bully others around you, it is unwise. It is a fool. If you think that, oh, I'm joking, I'm just joking with you, after you bully others, I tell you, it is a manic. Just like you are shooting flaming arrows of death, and you will harm others. So don't bully your neighbor. And verse 20 to 22 is talking about gossiping. Gossiping is a fool. There are many gossip in church. So I tell you, many people in the church, they are saved, but still they are fools. How come they will gossip? Why they have to spread it out? Maybe you think that there's a person who did something wrong and there's something not appropriate. You think so. And so that's why you spread it. And you want to make him as a joke. And now you are spreading it. I don't say that you could not spread it, but it is none of your business. If you can manage, and if it is related to you, and you can correct it. But if it is none of your business, but you keep on spreading it, and it will make the situation worse. Just like verse 20 mentioned, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. If keep on spreading the gossips, and it is a way to harm your neighbor, and actually it will make a quarrels among the brothers and sisters, and it is not pleased by God. So when you spread these gossips and the situation become worse, just like and charcoal to embers, and as wood to fire. In verse 22, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down in the inmost parts. We have similar experience, maybe. Maybe you speak something and some people don't show interest to you. And if you say that, oh, I am going to share you a secret. And they will say, whoa, what is it? They show their interest immediately. This is the power of gossiping. Even though it is none of your business and have no relationship with you at all, but it is related to others, you will have interest in listening to it. When you take it and when you listen and you would like to spread it, and this is gossip. Gossiping is a fool. It's a foolish person. It's what a foolish person will do. It is even worse than a fool. It is talking about the problem of gossiping. And in verse 23 and after verse 23, it mentioned about bitterness. You have angry. You have anger towards others. And that means you have bitterness and you are angry with somebody inside you. You keep it in your heart and you don't show it to others. And then you will tell lies. You will hide yourself. Then you will have an evil heart. You will have a fervent lips. And you will disguise with your lips. Maybe you don't know that whether the person is a fool, but you see whether that person has anger inside them. If yes, he is a fool because he is fake. He's not real. And he is twisted. And he has an evil heart. I know this scripture as early as I was in the marketplace. That is, you encounter an incident and two parties will think that they have their own reasons, but they are conflicting. But you could not tell which person has problem. And then I read this scripture. And I know that A is actually hates B. So I know that A tells lies. But A is the supervisor of B. And I could not tell the truth. And then B will become, you know, otherwise B will even have a worse treatment. And after a short period of time, actually, it shows that A has the problem. I tell you, Proverbs is full of wisdom. May God help us. That is, of course, we won't be a fool. But this chapter tells us to focus and face and tackle the problems that is in our life. That is laziness. You think that you're wise? You don't have good relationship with your neighbors, with your colleagues, brothers and sisters. And you gossip. And you have the bitterness and anger in your heart and you have not dealt with it. And I tell you, all these are fools. May God help us. May God shed his light on us. That is, we have to come out of the situation of a fool. If we are a fool in some certain areas, and I tell you, there's no God in that area. May God let us be diligent and humble ourselves. And we have the boundary. Maybe we are wrongly treated and we want to ask God to help us. But we don't act as a fool. May God help us.